Okay, folks. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Traveling Principal Show. My name is Joe Colossi. I'm your host. I'm excited to be bringing to you a five-part series this week, a little bit every day on assessments and evaluation. I realized I've never really done too much on assessments and evaluation. I just bash them all the time. But we're going to really dive into the foundation of what assessments are. We're going to talk about the fine line districts walk with schools. We're going to get into variety and feedback in assessments. Both are crucial to successful ones. We're going to talk about empowering students through assessments. And then we're going to look at refining evaluation and collaboration through assessments as well. So I'm excited to be talking about these topics this week because I think it's long overdue. My apologies for not talking about this sooner. I did get a request via social media, and so keep them coming because that's where this episode is derived from. Folks, let's dive right into it. Without further ado, part one of a five-part series on assessments and evaluation. Enjoy. Okay, you guys, so part one of this five-part series is dedicated to the foundations of assessment. And I really wanted to talk about a couple of things when I'm talking about the foundation of assessments, because we're not necessarily going to spend a lot of time this week with reference to district-level assessments and state-level assessments as much as we're going to be talking about school-level assessments. And so today's episode is going to revolve around making this a part of the process and not the product. I will take a trip around what we're seeing in U.S. schools as examples of some pretty cool types of assessments that are out there, as always, because that's what we do here on the Traveling Principal Show. And we go around checking it out and sharing what's working and what's not. So, just to hammer that point home, I remember back when I was sitting in schools and I would get a test back. It would be put down on my desk, usually on the front corner. There would be a red penned number circled. And then that was the end result. I was to take that test, sometimes get it signed when the grade was crappy. But what happened there was we went on to something else, right? It was an end result. The assessment that I took marked the end of what I was going to learn within that topic. Now, if I got an 88, that means 12% of what I took to understand, right? Of 12% of what I learned, I guess, therefore, of what I was taught to understand, I still did not know. Or at least on that assessment, I didn't get correctly. And so therefore, 12% of that information, I'm not going to know, which could be on those state level assessments, which could compound because it perhaps could be fundamental to whatever I need to learn next. And then therefore compounding the confusion into something a lot greater. And so I want to make sure that when we're talking about testing, when we're talking about assessment, when we're talking about evaluation, it's got to be a part of a process of learning. If I was able to go back and figure out what I did not learn, and I don't know, take another assessment, or at least figure out a way to learn what I exemplified that I did not, you know, that is learning. That makes the assessment a part of the learning process. And so, you know, let's take a look at some of the things that I'm finding throughout the U.S. You know, something that's really gnarly that I'm learning about in Aurora schools in Colorado, competency-based education. And it's competency-based assessments, therefore, right? The ability to demonstrate specific skills or competencies rather than traditional content knowledge flips everything upside down. I wanted to start with that one because it takes so much for a school to give, they call them CBE, right? Competency-based assessments or based on education. Because the learning that we give in 95% of the schools that are out there in K-12 public, we are content-based, right? We are not this way. So it's a magnificent switch if that's what you're going to do. Another variation within assessment or a version of assessments that I'm seeing in schools being used, which I really felt like were just super cool, digital badging. And so schools are using the ability to recognize specific skills or achievements that go beyond traditional grades with these variety of accomplishments from teamwork to specific academic competencies. And then this digital badging goes along. Students collect them as visual representations, which can later be displayed in portfolios, et cetera, for colleges or future employers, which I think is phenomenal. When we're talking about project-based learning assessments, I don't want to leave that out because that is something that's really growing, especially I'm seeing that a lot in California. Students apply knowledge in real-world context with assessments based on rubrics that value collaboration, problem-solving, and critical thinking. It's as close, I feel, as the U.S. gets to competency-based assessments in competency-based education without flipping everything upside down. It's almost like the transition period in between traditional, what we see often, CBE on the far end. I think you have project-based learning kind of somewhere in the middle there. So I didn't want to leave that one out. Of course, I'm seeing real-world simulations. Okay, it's Center for Collaboration on Educational Performance Assessment Resource. Oh my gosh. Tasks that are designed to simulate real-world challenges requiring students to think critically and apply their learning in context. The difference between that and PBL is on the spot, right then and there, that's when it's happening. You are being assessed. In fact, there are people who are not a part of the simulation that are in that class that are also required to assess as a part of their assessments. Oh my gosh. Everybody has like a task. Everybody's playing a role. It was really bananas. It was like a Truman Show type thing. Really something to see when it's done correctly. Of course, you have your portfolio-based assessments that I'm seeing a lot on the East Coast. Peer and self assessments with reflection are what you usually would notice in an international baccalaureate type scenario. I've seen a lot of culminating projects having to be pronounced in a specific way, presented in a specific way, and yet the self-assessment with reflection piece is what's most profound. It's a authentic communication between a person's ability to reflect based on what feedback is from staff, but then again from peer. Oh my gosh, night and day with regards to its efficacy. So just some things to think about when we're talking about what I'm seeing in U.S. schools. Of course, you always have your capstone projects. You know, High Tech High has been notorious for the capstone project model down in San Diego and in California. Something worth seeing if you haven't yet. But these are some different ways that I'm seeing assessments being given throughout schools in the U.S. that are a little bit different from your essay, your multiple choice, things of that nature that are kind of the norm that we've considered traditional, I guess, at this point. So all that being said, you guys, there are different ways that you can deliver assessments in your class. As long as you are making it a part of the learning process, I'm okay with it. Please don't make it a timestamp and go on to something else. Now you're talking about what we all despise, which is more of like your district level culminating assessment that is kind of useless and just for websites to skim and rate your school about and for parents to see and gain an inaccurate representation. So all that being said, you guys, think this through. This week, we're going to be coming at you with all kinds of different variations of assessments as well. Those are just ones that I'm seeing in school, so I wanted to bring them to you. Thank you guys for listening. My name is Joe Colossi. If you want to talk about anything educationally speaking, hit me up via email at joe@travelprinciple.com. Have a good one, you guys.